Peter and the Jailbirds, Chapter 16, Hot Cocoa. MJ leaned against the entrance to the waiting room. "Hey," she said. "MJ, are you okay?" Ned rushed up to her. "Thank you, MJ," May croaked. Thank you so much. He'll be okay, I think," MJ said. "Are you?" May asked. MJ blinked at her. "Come here, sweetheart." May stepped towards her, arms held out for a hug. "Hey, we got you," Ned said at the same time, opening up his arms to her. MJ looked from one to the other, laughed tiredly, and fell forward towards both of them. "Thank you," May whispered again. "Both of you, I can't thank you enough. Are you all right? I'm going to go sit with him now until he wakes up. But you should go back to the city, get some rest. I'm sure Happy can..." "Are you kidding?" Ned said. "I'm staying until he wakes up." He nudged MJ. "What do you want to do now?" "I," MJ said, trying to find a few words to string together. "I want to stay." "Hot cocoa and a couch and a blanket?" Ned asked. MJ's head bobbed in an exhausted nod. "Hey, Friday," Ned said. A bright yellow line lit up a path out of the waiting room. "Thanks," Ned said. "Hey, Falcon?" "Just Sam, please. I'm not putting those wings back on tonight." "Sam," Ned said, definitely not spazzing out over the idea of being on a first-name basis with one of the Avengers. The actual honest-to-God Avengers. Yeah, great. That's cool. "Hi, Sam. I'm Ned. This is Michelle. You want to join us?" "I am always," Sam said, "always, without a doubt, ready for some hot cocoa and a couch and a blanket." "Great," Ned beamed at him, then turned to May. "Do you want us to bring you some cocoa?" "Not right now," May said, "but thank you, Ned, and thank you for, Ned grinned. "Told you, I'm Peter's guy in the chair. Sometimes that means waiting room chair." May's smile trembled outwards. She hugged Ned again, and then, with a laugh, accepted Sam's open arms. "Let us know when you need a break," Sam said, voice muffled by May's hair. "A lot of people here would be happy to spell you for a few hours, let you get some sleep." "Maybe later," May said, "but not right now. Thank you." She straightened up out of the hug, gathered up her purse, and followed the red and blue line Friday had lit up for her.
"How's the kid?"
Rhodey asked, voice crackling a little through the phone's slightly dented speakers. "Alive." Tony didn't take his eyes off the mostly steady zigs and zags of the heart monitor Friday was displaying for him.
"Wanda?"
"Out cold. Cho checked her out after the surgery was over. She's okay. Normal brain function, all good. Should be up again in a few hours, maybe a day or two. Just..."
"Overwhelmed by going straight from 6 months in a straitjacket to using her powers to destroy a helicopter?"
"Yeah," Tony said. "That."
"How about the rest?"
Tony tapped a staccato dubstep beat on Dummy's arm with the end of his pen.
"Uh-huh,"
Rhodey said. "Don't you raise your eyebrows at me like that," Tony said.
"Did you hack my phone's camera again? That's creepy, man. You can't spy on me like that. It's creepy. No, uh-uh, creepy."
"Didn't have to hack anything," Tony said. "I can hear your eyebrows from all the way up here. If you want to give me that look in person, you could always get your ass out of the Pentagon and come up here where it's
colder and snowier and home to a murder of cooped-up superheroes ready to explode at a moment's notice,"
Rhodey asked.
"Yeah, no thanks. I'm good here. I'll come up when the dust is clearing out."
"Coward," Tony said. "Think you can just stay in your cozy little..."
"Of course I can," Rhodey said. "Some of us are doing actual work."
"So am I, once a year or so, whether I need to or not."
"Uh-huh,"
Rhodey said.
"Have you even made any progress with..."
"Tony Stark, you have a call on line two," Tony said. "Tony Stark, line two. Great timing. See ya, Rhodes. Don't get in too much trouble."
"God damn it, Tony."
Tony hung up on Rhodes, admired the blinking 62 missed calls from Ross in the phone's display again, sighed, and pressed accept call. "Stark's home for renegade superheroes. You nab 'em, we grab 'em," Tony said. "So good to hear from you. Did you get those files my friend sent?" "Great. The mailman should be along any minute now to get your signal." "Of course I can, and I did. You're welcome. Oh, there's the mailman. I can hear the noise. Great talk. See you soon." Tony hung up. Dummy picked up his pen and started wiping it down with a motor oil-stained rag. The phone's exuberant 62 missed calls from Ross display faded down to a despondent, "You have no missed calls." "I liked that pen," Tony sighed. "Do you even understand what you're doing, Dummy? Are you doing this on... You're doing this on purpose. Right, I knew that. Great." By the time Ned, MJ, and Sam got to the kitchen, Steve was already coming out of it with a tray of cups of hot cocoa. "Sam," he said, "Friday said something about cocoa. Did you... Oh, hey, Michelle. And you're Ned? Nice to meet you both." "I'll just help you out with one of those," Sam said, and liberated one of the mugs from Steve's tray. "Thanks." "Captain America just made me hot cocoa," Ned said. "This is a thing that's happening." "Well, technically, Tony's artificially intelligent coffee machine made the cocoa," Steve said. "Details." Ned waved a hand at Steve, took two mugs, and steered MJ towards the couch. "Here," he said, placing a mug into her hands. "Drink." "Thank you," MJ rasped. She closed her eyes as Ned draped a blanket over her and cuddled in close. "How are you?" Ned asked. MJ cracked one eye open and looked at Ned. "Figured," Ned sighed. "We could, hear him." MJ shuddered a little. She tucked her legs up onto the couch and lay her head on Ned's shoulder. The armchair across from them creaked once as Steve sat down in it, then again as Sam sat on top of him. "Right on top of me?" Steve sighed. "Really?" He wrapped an arm around Sam's waist to hold him steady. "Hello to you, too," Sam grinned. "Missed me?" "You know," Steve said, "I forgot how much of a jerk you are." "Oh, I'm the jerk?" Steve kissed the back of Sam's neck. "A lot," he said. "I missed you a lot." MJ looked at Ned. Ned looked at MJ. "So," he said, "that's another thing that's happening." Steve said, flushing slightly. "We're not entirely public yet, so..." "Why not?" MJ asked. "Because Sam has a family, and bad guys tend to see loved ones as pawns." "Oh," Ned said. "I'm sure Tony's got good security on all of you," Sam said. "Well, Peter's still got the whole secret identity thing," Ned said, "and the trial was private, so I think we're okay." "Good," Steve said. "If you could just keep this off of the snapping chat and all of that, we'd appreciate it." "Speaking of which," Sam said, "I charged my phone back up and I have two honest-to-God Snapchats from you. What the hell?" "I learned how," Steve said. "My little old man," Sam sniffled, "all grown up." "Fuck you." Steve kissed Sam's shoulder. Ned's jaw dropped. You really...
"Words are more powerful than fists,"
MJ intoned in a deadpan mimic of Captain America's cardboardy PSA voice.
"You should always watch your language, just like I watch out for dangerous enemies."
Sam's face lit up. "They still show the PSAs?"
"No," Steve said frantically. "No, they don't. They wouldn't. I'm a war..."
"They do," Ned said. "They totally do. And in real life, you totally swear. This is an actual thing. Oh my god. Oh my god." "Breathe," MJ patted Ned's back. "I'm from Brooklyn," Steve said, lips twitching against a smile. "What did you expect?" "You see," Sam said, "the thing about Cap is that once you clean off the glitter, and you gotta scrub hard because that shit gets everywhere, what's left is a little punk from Brooklyn who can't say no to a fight."
"Peter needs to meet Captain America for real," Ned thought suddenly, throat closing up.
"You sound a lot like a friend of mine," he said instead.
"How was he?" Steve asked.
"I'm on shift again in an hour. Bucky's there now in case they need, you know."
"We know," Ned said, a little harsher than he'd intended.
"Friday, how is he?"
"Peter Parker is currently asleep in an intensive care room under medical supervision. Would you like to see his vitals?"
"No," MJ rasped. "Dr. Cho's got him, and May's with him too. He'll be okay."
"It's not all it's cracked up to be, is it?" Sam said quietly. "Being a superhero, or loving one."
In the sudden silence, Ned could hear the artificially intelligent cleaning robot zoom into the leg of the couch, retreat, and bash into the corner of the coffee table.
Steve's face was making some kind of despondent frown, a new expression, something Ned had never seen from the PSAs or TV clips. Ned didn't like it, and he really didn't like the way Sam's leg tapped against the arm of the chair, so much like Peter's never-ending energy. He watched the marshmallows float across the surface of his cocoa. "At homecoming," he said at last, "I saved Peter from a bad guy, and then Peter did his whoosh-whoosh thing and webbed the guy up, and I was so thrilled to be fighting bad guys with him that it didn't hit me until a few days later that if I hadn't been out there, Peter would have died. Like, actually died. Gone. Done. Funeral. Coffin. The whole shebang." MJ snuggled up to Ned a little closer. Ned closed his eyes. "I was so excited to be part of something bigger," he said. "I didn't realize until Peter left, went onto the raft, I mean, that I had also become part of something much smaller. Me, MJ, May, Peter, taking care of each other, saving New York and making it through history without falling asleep, keeping secrets. We were, like, I don't know, a team, a squad. It was the most awesome thing in the world of all time ever, but it was also scary. A lot scarier than I ever thought it could be." "Yeah," Sam said softly. "It is." "Worth it, though." MJ buried her nose in her cocoa. Ned grinned at her in surprise. "Yeah?" MJ looked around the room as though she was surprised that everyone was still looking at her. "Have you ever met someone who cares about people as much as Peter does?" Sam snickered. "You know, I actually do. And he's just as annoying." "Thanks, I think," Steve sighed. "Same back at you, you know." "You're welcome," Sam said. "I think." "I mean," MJ said, "school is painfully boring. The world is a terrible place. Books are great ways to escape, and watching people is endlessly amusing, but none of it builds to something. I'm trying to change the world, but change happens really slowly. And sure, swinging around and stopping little crimes isn't going to help anything in the long run, but it's nice to go to bed knowing that someone's a little better off because of you." "Damn right," Ned said. MJ grinned at him. "Most people I know care about some things. My parents come with me to protests and stuff sometimes. But I don't know anyone else who stays up at night just worrying about how to save the world. What he does now doesn't change anything about the system, but he could. We've been talking, the three of us, about how to use this Spider-Man stuff to do more than just stop little crimes." "You've got ideas, huh?" Sam asked. "I," MJ said, "always have an idea." "Usually five," Ned said. MJ nodded. "You have ideas too," she said. "They just usually come framed with angle brackets." "Let me know what you guys figure out," Sam said. "Kids got potential. And so do the two of you. I'm glad you've got each other. He loves you guys so much. Wouldn't shut up about you." "That's because he never shuts up, period," MJ said. "You've got a great game face," Ned thought, snuggling up to her a little closer. "But I know you better than that, buddy." "Is it worth it for you?" Steve asked, not quite meeting Sam's eyes. "I'm here, aren't I?" Sam gestured with his mug. "It's worth it. Usually. Except when you throw your ass off of buildings and nearly give me 9 heart attacks on the way down. Or when you announce a crazy, self-sacrificing, only way out of here plan," Steve said. "That, sucked," Sam said. "Yeah," Steve said. "Yeah, it did. A lot." "But other than that," Sam said, "it's been a crazy ride, but I wouldn't trade it in for a newer Dodge." "How about a Humber Hawk?" Steve offered. "How about a what now?" "See, this is because you didn't want to go to that car show with me this summer." "That was an antique car show," Sam said, "you obsolete relic. If I'm going to go to a car show, it'll be to sit in a brand new Porsche and imagine I'm stark but better looking." "That's because you've never seen a Humber Hawk," Steve said. "Now, if it were a Humber Falcon," Sam said, "that I might consider." "Is this..." Ned wasn't quite sure what he was trying to ask. "Normal?" "I mean," Sam said, "define normal, because, you know, my boyfriend time-traveled, and I can fly, and I know a lady who can read minds, and a kid who sticks to the ceiling, so..." "Yes," Steve said, "we go out, try to beat up bad guys, get beat up, come back inside, and drink some cocoa. That's basically how it works around here. Paperwork, Sam said. You forgot the paperwork. You weren't here when S.H.I.E.L.D. was still a thing, Steve said with a faint shudder. It's so much better now, trust me. See, that's the problem, MJ said. Bad guys don't go away when you beat them up. If the situation has gotten to the point where your only option is punching the bad guys, you've done something wrong. Sam and Steve shared a silent glance. And that's my superpower, MJ said, untangling herself from Ned. Stopping nice conversations in their tracks. I'm going to... Yeah, thanks for the cocoa, Steve. And Friday. Hey, whoa, Sam reached towards her. You're right, okay? You're right. It's something we've been thinking about for a while. We've talked about it sometimes, but... Something always comes up, Steve said. That was true back before, too. Peggy and I used to talk about it, but we can't save the entire world. We're just a bunch of... spandex-suited lunatics, Sam said. But we've got a lot of money, or Stark does, at least, and as long as Pepper thinks it's a good idea, then it's our money, too. And the entire world watches us. You need to find an actual solution, MJ said. Not this Accord stuff. Something that actually helps people. You said you had ideas, Sam said. Lay 'em on us. MJ blinked. Sam raised an eyebrow at her. You really? MJ said. You're damn right we do, Steve said. Oh. MJ sank back down to the couch and curled one leg beneath her. Are you taking notes? She asked. I am, Pepper said. Ned turned to see her standing in the doorway, Stark phone and stylus in hand. She settled gracefully into the chair next to Sam and Steve and smiled at MJ. Go for it. MJ closed her eyes. Ned leaned his shoulder against hers and watched her take an in-the-zone breath, just like she had before the debate final. First of all, she said, you could be doing a lot more than motivational speeches.